Zion. We finished Sifches in the Mishnah Berurah. I want to point out one or two things over here in the Shaar HaTzion and in the Bir Halacha. So first take a look at the Shaar HaTzion, Sifkot and Mem Ches. So the Rambam said a person who tears a beged to express his anger is considered a tikkun. Okay, it's not considered a kilkel, even though he's destroying the beged, but since he's using that as an outlet to thereby vent his anger and not remain angry, so that's considered an overall benefit. So now, but we still have another problem. It's
considered what?
An overall benefit. So that's considered a tikkun. We have another problem, which is it's a malach v'shen esikul l'gufa. Because even though that's true, that the person is benefiting from the fact that he's destroying the beged, but the beged itself is where the action was done in, is not, there's no use for the beged. The use is in the person's anger. So it's a malach v'shen esikul l'gufa. Now the malach of kareya being esikul l'gufa would be you're doing a kriya in the beged, which would thereby benefit the beged. Let's say the beged was not sewn properly, and you have to open up the stitches to re-sew it properly. So that's a case of malachat tzricha l'gufa. The kriya, while it's, as it were, damaging the beged, it's not considered a damage, because the purpose is to facilitate a better sewing, so therefore it's considered a tikkun. And it's a tikkun in the beged, so it's malachat tzricha l'gufa. But over here, even if it's a tikkun, and it's a tikkun, the lachar is malachat tzricha l'gufa. So the shard
is torn.
In the case where he's tearing because of his anger.
Right, but if there's a question of resewing, would it depend on where it's torn, where it has it?
Well, the example I gave was that the stitches weren't sewn properly, and you're tearing it to be able to resew the stitches properly.
Right. But then it would depend on where you tear it. You would have to tear it where the stitches are.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Right. You're correct. Now, so the Shaar HaTzion in Mem Ches says in the second line in the Shaar HaTzion in page Kuf Chav Ches, Kareh b'chamosay afilo das haramad hu mesakein toli zebedin malachos en tzicha l'gufa im kai v'potter. Even after you say that it's considered a tikkun, it still remains malachos en tzicha l'gufa. So that's going to depend whether you have malachos en tzicha l'gufa is kai v'potter. So the Rambam, who says that Kareh B'chamosu is Chayiv, that's very easy, because the Rambam holds that B'loch HaShem HaSikul Gufa is Chayiv. But even though I would agree with the Rambam, that's considered a tikkun, the act of Kareh B'chamosu, because venting his anger in this way is much better than the other, maintaining the anger or venting it in a more negative way. So this is considered the fact that it releases his anger. It's a valid action. It's still malachos en tzricha l'gufa. So if I disagree with the Rambam on that point, the malachos en tzricha l'gufa, I can't pass on the case as chayiv. Okay, that's one point I wanted to point out. The other point I wanted to point out in the biurei halacha over here. So going back to the previous page, so the Bir Halacha Shmoneh Shrotzim. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah differentiated between Shmoneh Shrotzim and other Shrotzim is because whether it has an or not, and therefore do we assume that the person is being sought it, the for purpose of getting the or, etc. Now, so the
getting the
ore, using the ore. Wow. Therefore, what should the most important point out nowadays in Achbar is not would not have this din that we assume it's that people nowadays don't usually trap Achbar and for the purpose of their
skins.
Their skins. Okay. Now, but the Yesh Tam in the Bir Halacha in Shmoneh Shrotzim, the second line. The Ran has a different argument to explain what's the difference between the Chesh Shrotzim and other Shrotzim. The Chesh Shrotzim ain't dark and lahazik. These are not things which normally damage. So why is a person, if there's no damage from the thing, it's not damaging in any way, so why is the person trying to trap it? So you have to assume he has some valid reason why he wants to trap it. Mashenkim Mashar Shrotzim, the dark and Lahazik. So, but whereas other shrotzim, where it's they are more common to be, there is some element of damage which they're going to cause. So that's what we said before. If you trap it for the purpose of that it shouldn't damage, that's not called the malacha of tzeira. So normally, by the other shrotzim, we assume that that's what you're doing.
Forgive me for interrupting.
No, I'm not going to forgive you. Now, according to what he's saying, so now, if you would have a situation where you find with other shrotzim, there are other types of things which are not dark and lahasik, so whether they have this skin issue, which that's irrelevant according to the Ram. The main point is, what is the standard usage of why a person would be dutseida on these things? So if it's not dark and lahazik, so why are you trying to capture it? Probably because you need it for some reason. So it's a malacha tzicha legufa. Whereas by the shrotzim, which the derech is that they're mazik, we have to assume that your purpose is to capture them to prevent the hezek, which is malachas and tzich legufa, and it's potter. That's how the Ram learns. Okay, then theoretically you would have. Okay, that's one point I wanted to point out. Yes.
Okay, you're talking about the shmona shrotzim, right? These are special, over and above, quote unquote, regular shrotzim. And what exactly are these shmona shrotzim? Because I'm like, I thought they included mice. And mice are tremendously destructive.
Dark and lahazik usually means for a person. Most people don't get mice bites. You don't like them in your house because they might eat your food.
They eat the food. They destroy things.
That's what the Ron says.
So okay, he doesn't consider that to be destructive.
You know what? The Gemara definitely talks about boredom eating things. The Gemara talks about it. But when he's saying dark and lahazik, I think he assuming means damage for people.
But I mean, didn't they make a gezerah that you shouldn't put truma with the Torah scrolls because the mice would come in, eat the truma, and then eat the Torah scrolls precisely because the mice and the rats were doing that?
That's true. That's a good point. That's why I said it. He's dark and lahazik is referring to damaging a person. That's what he means.
You don't think eating your Torah scroll is damaging to you? I mean,
the Ron is using the word dark and lahazik in a specific usage. That's what he means. He means damaging to people, physical damage. That's what the words mean. There are other possible, but I'm saying the Ron is using the words in this way. I'm not discussing whether there are other possible damages, but the Ron is saying, when he says dark and lahazik, he's referring to specifically physical damage to a person, danger, you know, damage and danger to a person. They bite. Okay. Now, interesting question which comes up is one of the cheshrotzim is a tzav. Tzav is translated nowadays as a turtle. So turtles go very slowly. So is there then seda on something which moves very slowly? But therefore, really, it's like we had before. We had the case of the deer, which was a chigir, which can't really run away from you. It's not called seda when you capture it. So is it considered? So Shlomo Zalman says that it has to be that the word tzav, the modern usage of the word tzav in the Ivrit, is not really the tzav that the Torah is referring to, because there's no din seda on these animals which move slowly, just like the case of the chigir, that an animal which cannot, you can easily grab it without any difficulty. That's not, it's equivalent to being nitzud. It's as if you have it already. So he feels that there wouldn't be a din seda on such things. Okay, one more point I want to see in the Bir Halacha is the next Bir Halacha, the first phrase, HaChayvel. So the Malach of HaChayvel, we assume in the Mishabura, the problem of HaChayvel is because of the Malach of Natil Sashama. Interestingly enough, the Rambam learns that that's not the Malach of HaChayvel. That's the Rambam, the HaChayvel Chayv Mishum Mefarek, she told the Dadosh. That the malacha that it connects to is the malacha of dash. Dash is that the kernels grow on the stalk, and the act of breaking the kernel off of the stalk is the malacha of dash, that's threshing. Chazal learn out schita, which is squeezing out liquids from the fruits, is a told of dosh. Because again, the liquid is like in our in this analogy, the liquid is like the kernel, the fruit is like the stalk, and you're breaking apart the liquid from the fruit. You're breaking apart the kernel from the stalk. So Chazal said schita is a told of dosh. So the Rambam sees that the act of causing something to bleed is similar to that. You're taking, which the more it has this analogy to milk, milking. Milking is considered a told of mafarik, like the vast majority of the Rishonim, because you have the milk, and taking the milk out of the udder is the same idea. The udder is going to be compared to the stalk, and the milk coming out is compared to the kernel, that you're breaking it out from that which is holding it, which is containing it. So that's
Rabbi Rosenbaum.
So the same thing the Rambam says, that he understands taking blood out of the body is the same thing. It's the Toldah of Mefarik. So the Bir Lacha then continues with quite an arichas.
Forgive me, what is Mefarik again?
Mefarik means to break something. The word Perik is like a joint. Like a Perik and then a chapter. The reason why it's called a chapter is because Perakim are actually joints. You divide a book into its joints. Each one is a Perik. Each one is a section. So the word Mefarik is to break two things apart.
Okay.
So when you break the threshing is a form of mafarik, because you're breaking the kernel off of the stalk or out of the husk. So those are forms of mafarik. It's contained inside of the husk and I break it off. If I take certain types of nuts and I take them out of their shell, it's considered mafarik. Why some nuts are not mafarik is a different question. We'll have to see when we get there. Why is it, and every time you break open a peanut, why is it considered mafarik? Because that's a good question. We'll discuss why that's so. But any time that you're doing the process of something is contained in something else and breaking it out of that container, out of that which is holding it, is called mafarik. So squeezing a liquid out of a fruit is considered mafarik.
And you say squeezing the udder to get the milk.
Also mafarik. So now the Rambam says, well, once that's true, I can just tell you that's the same problem when you cause something to bleed. So the Rambam says, Natil Sashama means Natil Sashama. It means killing something. Taking out some of its blood is not called kill. It's not called Natilus Nefesh. Kiyadamu HaNefesh has other points that it means. It doesn't mean this idea that as if you're taking out the Nefesh. So causing something to bleed a little bit is not Natilus Nashama. Different than the other Rishonim. Okay, but what is it? There's blood contained in the body. You're squeezing it out. It's the equivalent of taking out of what's containing it. So then the Mishabura says, according to that, So according to that, the shear for chiyuv would be kegrogris, because the shear for chiyuv by the malach of dosh schita etc. is kegrogris, not with the mashru. So that's one point. Then he gets involved in other questions which I don't want to get involved in, but that's the Rambam does create some interesting questions. Okay, now. Okay, the last thing I want to look at over here is the Rambam in the Bir Halacha, the Rambam Chayiv, all the way to the bottom of the page. Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about by Shar Shrotzim. So if you're Tzadam the Tzarech, you're Chayiv. If you're Tzadam not the Tzarech, you're going to be Potter. From the Rambam, you're going to be Chayiv. Okay, so let's talk out the thought process before we see the Bir Halacha. So, if a person does say to the tzarech, means he wants to use the item, that's called malachot tzarech legufa. I'm doing the act of capturing it to use it, so that's chayiv. If I'm doing tzedah, not the tzarech, I don't plan to use it, so that's malachot, I'm doing the malachot tzedah, but not tzarech legufa. I don't have a need for that which I'm capturing, so that's going to be potter. But according to the Rambam, the malachot tzedah in a gufa is chayiv. You're chayiv. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. The problem is that the Rambam, in the end of we said it before at the end of Siv Zayin, that when you do tzedah on something that it shouldn't bite you, even from the Rambam, it's mutter. Why? Because it's not chayiv. And we explained that this is, if it just be a malachah shenis yikul gufa, from the Rambam, that's chayiv. If it's chayiv, the raisa, you can't be mutter because it's going to be painful. Unless it's dangerous, it's life-threatening. And we're saying over here it's mutter even though it's not life-threatening. So why? How do you understand according to the Rambam that case is mutter? So we said that's not called seder at all, and then we explained from the Aruch HaShulchan that the definition of seder is to take possession of an item. To capturing means to take possession of it for yourself. If my whole goal over here is to keep it away from me, as a matter of fact, I'd really be happy it should never be here to start with. That's better. That's not called seder at all. That's not lachat ha'seder l'gufa. That's called misasik ba'alma. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan explained that din of the Rambam. So that's this case over here. We're saying over here, a person does seder shelo l'tzarich. That's chayim according to the Rambam. Hakmi chayim. That's the chara. What we said before. Okay. Well, Carl, if you mash a kosov mug in a room, a tam b'shem aran v'chanal kosher. Amai kosov b'shulchan aruch v'la ramam chayiv. Why does he say kon ramam chayiv? Halagam u'moida b'hod esiv zayin d'hum to the chadchila. We said he agrees the loch and siv zayin to be dut seda to prevent the thing from biting you is mutter. My goal is that it shouldn't attack me or hurt me. As I have no need for the item at all, so I'm not doing seder in the real sense. That's what we explained before. According to the Ram, that the reason we say other shrotzim, the reason why you do seder is prevents it from hurting you. So that's the case of zayin. Or historically, it's the chachila. That's what Kiveger's kasha. That's what Kiveger's kasha, according to the way the Ram. She mutter the chachila. Then the Sivzayim, we said that's mutter, even according to the Rambam. Dut Seida, it's something which the derech is that it will, even if it's not life threatening, it will hurt you. So it's only asumi rabbanon, and therefore chazal, we're mutter because of the tsar. Fine. So what's that? And we said even according to the Rambam, the case is mutter. Because it's not called seder. Rama holds malachos and etzich l'gufa is chayiv, but this is better than etzich l'gufa. This is not called seder at all. So then, why is this case? According to Rama, how can it be chayiv? It's mutter. It's kibegas kash. So Amalachar he nearly shayna kushikval. I want to answer kibegas kash.
Who?
The Mishnah Berurah is talking now. Not Eli Rangel. Otherwise, I wouldn't try and answer Kiveger's question. The whole kol tam harambam shemater b'adis of Zion after Baal Masir lay the malacha shenasir l'gufa chayiv. The Rambam holds the malacha shenasir l'gufa is chayiv. So doing a malacha not for the purpose of the malacha normally is going to be chayiv. So why is this? I'm doing seder not for seder. So why is it? Why is this case mutter? What's the argument? Whom ishum that havi b'klal misasik b'alma li'notam nishichusay. So the Teretz is, I would, as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing the up and the Seder. I'm trying to keep it away from me. I'm doing that that's what I said. Because I'm trying to keep it away from me. The way I'm keeping it away from me is by taking hold of it that it shouldn't attack me. But I have no intent to take possession of it. My whole goal really is the opposite. I'm very happy to take it and dump it into the sea. I don't need it. I have no interest in having it. So that's not malacha. That's not the malacha of seder. That's what we said. Zeshach rakish mechaven beis at seder b'shul zeb. It means when you did the seder, your intent was specifically to protect yourself. That's when it's mutter. Masha'en ke kishtarim stamba. Afilu shal tzarech. But in a case where you weren't thinking what you were doing, you weren't thinking of a positive need, but you weren't thinking of save myself from hurt. In that situation, on his battle, shame seder b'shul estamayel on shrotzin nitzarim b'shul shal yiziku. So there, they will. If you're not thinking, you're just trapping it without thinking. So that'll be a case of malachos and esikul gufa. That's not a case of misasik. Says if you look at that, you'll find that fits are beautiful in the lashon of the Rambam. And he goes to the language of the Rambam, etc., which I'm not going to get involved in. Fine. Okay, Siftas is an interesting din. Fine. So parish is a type of a bug, Hanikra Bargus Beloshon Arov. I cannot claim I know Arabic. Okay, so it seems like some type of a bed bug. So also the tzaydai, you can't capture it. Elim Kain who al basara, but it's already on your body and it's biting. You're allowed to capture it. I means take hold of it and take it off. When you want to take hold of it, you've caught it. You're allowed because the Chazal did not ask to say it in that situation. And also the hurry, you can't kill it, which is a separate problem. If you can't kill it, what you can do is take it off of you and then throw it away. So you have not. So okay. So it's aimim and anitzit. They're not the things which people normally capture to use. Your kavanah is not for the purpose of saying your kavanah is to get it away from you. So it's either malach shel gufo or it's better, it's misasig. So mawakam tsar, they were matter. The definition of mawakam tsar is once it's already biting. Or alternatively, we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, one sheet that says if it's inside of your, if it got inside your clothing and it's going to bite you, that's already, you don't have to wait till it actually bites you. But if it's not on your, not on the person, not on his clothing or on his body, so then just stay away from it. They weren't matter that. But you can't kill it. So you can't like rub it around in your hands. So your goal being that you don't want it to come back on you, so you want to weaken it. Well, you know, so you're going to rub it around a little bit so it's like it gets crushed a little bit. Well, crushing it a little bit might end up being crushing it a little bit too much and you're going to kill it. So you can't even do that. Because Shemin Yergen, you might end up killing it. You can take it off and throw it away. Okay. Alvakina mutilaharga, but it comes to kinim, lice. So if you have a louse, so you're allowed to kill the louse. Not only are you allowed to take it off, you're allowed to kill it also. Now we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah why. And there's also a question: are the kinim that this kina that they're referring to what we have nowadays? So that's I have to explain that. But now v'mafala begod of mikinim. So if a person found that he has lice in his clothing and he wants to clear out the kinim from his clothing, which is mutter to do, lo yahargam, he should not kill them. What he should do is just roll them up a little bit so they crush a little bit so they're weakened, and therefore they throw them away. They're not going to come back on the person. But he takes them out of his. So we just said you're allowed to kill them, and now we're saying you can't kill them. So what's that about? So Mishnah Berurah says, and why is it between the clothing and the person's head? In general, sometimes the clothing, there are other bugs besides kinim. So we're going to, and those which are also to kill, like the parish who said is also to kill. So we're not going to let you kill the kinim, because you might come to kill the parish. In people's head, in general, there's only kinim, there wasn't other things. So there they went back to the Ikra Din, you're allowed to kill them. And that's why when a person has a kina in his body, he sees what it is. That was less common to have the parushim, have the kina, kill it. And the clothing, parushim were more common, can't kill it, because you might end up killing a parush also. And the person's hair, mutter to kill it, because again, parushim were not common. Okay. So that is the din, fine. Let's see over here, Mishnah Berurah. So, parash is a nikra burgus v'loshan aruf. Hanu ashkara hakafetzis. It's a black type of a bug which jumps around, jumps onto the person, and it bites. So, otzalah letzudoi. See, first of all, you can't capture it. Daftahu davashay b'mina nitzit, even though it's not something which people normally trap to use. So, it's called en b'mina nitzit. Al kapanim osim in rabbanim, but still osim in rabbanim to do it. Kanabas sif gimel. Okay. Bitzach lashmin, and the reason why the Shulchan Aruch is pointing this out. Afukim midas eza min apoiskim, the savri daav zu hi beklal makhalis, shemutta letzuda lahorga. That this thing called the parish is also included in the makhalis, is another name for lice. So this thing, which is called the burgus, some Rishonim understood that is included. Is included under the umbrella of the din of kinim, which you're allowed to catch them, you're allowed to kill them. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch is pointing out that this thing called the parish, which is called bargus, whatever that is not so. Okay. So now, once you pass on that, you can't kill the this bug, and it's nighttime, you can't tell what it is which is biting you. So much of the tsuda, well, so you're allowed to capture it, but you can't kill it. So why? Yes, capturing, because even if you would capture the Rabbanan, because it's a suffer the Rabbanan, the kula, you can capture. Maybe it's a kila which is much of the capture. Maybe it's a bargus, which is also to capture mirabana, sabat rabana, the kula, and you can do tzeda. When it comes to killing it, we have on the bargus, it's an issue to kill it. That's an issue to rice. You're doing chayvul. It might be mochin and sikhil gufa. Mochin and sikhil gufa, I'll get that in a second. And even kinim, we said, are also because you might come to kill the barger. So this is, you know, a better case than that than right here in the dark. You don't know what you have. It might be this, might be that. Say, well, if it's a kinyan, you ought to kill it. Well, you can't kill it because you might come to kill a barger. That's exactly what we're worried about. So therefore, in the comes to killing it, we would say you'd have to be machmer because of the suffix. Now, so the tegel of Sharet Zion, he says, why can't you kill it? Du chashash deraisa. The harig parish is chayv. Now, skip the bracket. Tzivafa got the hush lachos in a sikh lagufa. What do you mean it's deraisa? It's not a deraisa. It's a lachos in a sikh lagufa. So it's not a deraisa. Efshem mishum the ikara hu mi deraisa. So, we don't treat all the rabbanans the same. So Malachos and Nesil Lagufa is a much more chomer Rabbanan than your average Rabbanan, because it's really a case where the Maisa is the exact same Maisa as the Raisa Maisa, and your whole heter is based on your intent. So Iker of this action is really a Raisa to Kedin. So Chazal came and asked me Rabbanan because it's so close to the Raisa. So that type of Rabbanan, even a sub Rabbanan, you can't say the Kula. Where do you find such a Swara? There's a Ran, which the Mishabura quotes in Shin Lamed Dalet. So the lake on Shabbos. So if a fire breaks out in a way which is not life-threatening, so you can't, the heter to put out a fire is because life-threatening. Otherwise, you're doing kibbuy. So not only can't you put out the fire yourself, right? The person lives on this home. There's no houses nearby for the fire to spread. It's just him and all adult people, so that he knows for sure that they got out safely. Everybody's out safely. The only problem is he's not going to rouse. Okay, that's a big hefset, but it's not a life-threatening situation. So, can you ask a guy to put it out? The law is, not only can you not put it out yourself, you can't ask a guy. So the Ron says, I don't understand. We assume every time putting out a fire is malach ha-shenesich l'gufa, because the kibbuy, the only case of kibbuy, which there is a need for the kibbuy, mitzvah the kibbuy itself, is in a case when your goal is to make, you know, to scorch it, to that therefore when you relight it next time, it'll light better. So if I take a wick and I light it and then I put it out, so this time the next light it, time it lights more quickly, that kibbuy is called shikha l'gufa, that's the rice. But put out a fire just to stop the building from burning, that's not shikha l'gufa, so it's a drabbanan. Amir la'akim is a drabbanan. So it's a shush to shush, and welcome half the gadol. You're losing your house. So why is it also? She says, because malachat tenesi l'gufa is so close to the malachat deraisa, because I do not want to be matter amir la'akim for that. So that's an important rule. So being matter shush to shush, but malachat hefzid, saying that the wonder of one is malachat tenesi l'gufa, according to the Ran, is not true. That wouldn't be a valid understanding. So that's possibly what he means over here also, along those lines. Fine. Umutter lefal. Now then, he just points out, "Kamalkan beroshen motzi sham parushim kamoshik kosva poiskim yesh lion mizit." This suffix that you have, but if he's finding this bug on his head, where parushim are much less common, so you're dealing with a suffix on a semi deraisa, which and it's not common. The roif tells you that's not true. So lachar, that should be mutter already. Rav tells me that probably what the person has in his head is not a parish, it's a kinnah. And even if it is a parish, it's not really the rice, it's only the semi-derice of Malachas and Sivagufu. That they said, Asher, even that case, the Chara logic says not. So he says, Yesh la'ayin b'zeh, he's not committed to be matur, but the Chara logic should say that should be matur. Okay, now, Zog the Mishibura Vaiter, back into this Mishibura Sukkot Manorov. And what do the fellows have begotten me parushim b'shabbos? Achizor shalo yitlim b'yodri, the Hubachal Seder, rak yapilem me olav. If he has these bugs inside of his clothing, so he's allowed to remove the bugs from his clothing, but he shouldn't do it by picking them off, because as you take them off, you've done seder. You should do it by flicking them away. So shaking them off, or flicking them away, so you've never taken hold of it, all you've done is sent it away. So that's not the melacha of seder. Okay. So what is mutter to do tzeda? It's only mutter to do tzeda by these things once they're already biting you. Elam kein hu oiksa. Hana shemishum tzara da kitza, because of the discomfort of being bit. Lakos rabbanan al isur tzeda. So Chazal did not ask tzeda in such a situation. It's only the rabbanan. And you're not doing tzeda. It's mochos in tzila gufa. So in a case where there's already a case of tsar involved that's already biting you, chazal rematzer it. Mutar l'tzayda l'ashtichas, you can take hold of it, which is seder, then throw it away. So because of oiksoi, that's why it says it has to be biting you. It's only mutar once it's already actually it's biting. Some take it a step further and say that if it got inside your clothing already, even though it hasn't bit you yet, you're allowed to grab hold of it and throw it away, because there's a good chance in that situation it's going to bite you. If you have an option of shaking it away off of your clothing without actually taking hold of it, so it's not seder. You're just shaking it away from you. That's the opposite of seder. So even when you take it, even though you throw it away afterwards, at the moment you took it, you did seder. So that is not going to be. So the first sheet that's also, because it's not biting you yet. According to the second sheet, once it's inside the clothing, it's a good chance it will come to bite you. So Chazal were matter that as well. So interesting question, which the Moshe Dishra here brings. So this halacha that you're allowed to take hold of something and then discard it to take away tsar, is that only physical tsar? Let's say I have a bee, I have a fly buzzing around my head, driving me crazy. A bunch of driving me crazy. The sound of the fly driving me crazy. But it's not. There's no physical hurt over here. The Chazal matter because of that situation. Rizam Zalman says no. The Chazal specifically matter it because of the physical pain, and not because of the emotional, mental anguish. But he brings from Nissan Karelitz that he was matter the Tzara Nefesh over here as well. Tzara Nefesh. So if I'm trying to sleep, and this thing is making so much noise, I can't sleep. So I want to capture it to take it outside. Even though my final goal was to release it, the moment that I caught it. So that's also Mirabonim. They were matter the Yisr Mirabonim doing Seder because of the Tzara Haguf, that the person can't sleep. That's what he says. But Rosh Hashanah says no, which would be consistent with what we were saying before from the Ran, the definition of that which we're dealing with over here. Was a tzar haguf type of issue as opposed to non-tzar haguf issues. Okay. Now, the next Mishabura deals with the difference, this difference between kinim and parushim. So why is it also to kill parushim and what's it to kill kinim? Okay.
What are parushim?
I don't know exactly what they are. There's some type of a bug. Okay. that which is differentiated between this bug called the parish and this bug called the kina, because the chomolochus, the Shabbos, mi mishkin nafinu lehem. So the Gemara says that the melachos are learned from the Mishkan. If you had a Mises called Balechayim, Lechiyu, Mishkitas Elim, Me'odamim, Shayib, Mishkan, Mishila Risei. So where did you have Shkita of killing the Netilsa Shama in the Mishkan? So you had it by the Elim, Me'odamim, you had it by these, the Tachash, and by the two types of animals that you use for their skins in the Mikdash. So there was the Tachash and there was the Elim. So they needed to use the skin. So obviously they had to kill it. They had to take out the neshama before they used the skin. So Shkita was there in the Mishkan. Okay. Well, Adavka Yerei Shkita, Huyen HaYerei Akob, Mechanika. Even if you don't take out any blood, you just hit it or you strangle it or Nechira, or he would rip. Nechira is cutting the throat, not in the form of Shkita. Whatever it might be, kivin shabah yaday zen until sashama is chay. So anything which would takes out the life force of the animal is chay. Okay. So the Mora says like this, Rabina. So if we're going, it has to be comparable to the elim ma'odamim, these reddish tinged elim, that their skins were reddish tinged. That they reproduce, and that they grow from the animal reproduces. Of course, sheparim v'rovim for kekina de'ena bo mi zocher nekeva al bo min azeya luchashi v'briya. So the Gemara. So the question is, what exactly is this kina that Chazal referring to? So the kina which we have nowadays do grow out of an egg. They do grow out of some process of being fertilized and having an egg, etc. So, are these the kinim which Chazal are referring to, or the Chazal referring to something else which we don't have nowadays? And therefore, this halacha would change. L'chumra, by the kinim which we have nowadays. So, this is a major discussion halachically and hashkafically. So Riyashiv said that the kinim which have nowadays don't meet this criteria. Then they had something which seemed to develop, what's spontaneous generation, which we seem to not be able to recognize such an idea nowadays. So whatever that was, it didn't develop out of the normal way that normal animal life develops. So there's no way of killing it. The rice. So Riyashiv held that the kinim which you have nowadays, which science sees it functions differently, are not the kinim which the Chazal are referring to, and or something changed, and nowadays it would be a problem of killing them. Okay. Well, parash al bisha gam he enter par barova bekamokim kinim and shavayosam in offer yesh ba chiyus kila nivra mizachar in a keva chay v'leah mishum until sashama. Fill him a parish oiksoy also the murder. So parish, which is why some rishonim compare it to kina, also seems to develop in such a way. It doesn't develop in the normal way. But that's okay. And then we'll have to talk about that more tomorrow. Let's hold it here.